today. I don't know how many, you know, the interesting thing about Thanksgiving, there was so much, I saw so much work going into that food. And we had operations in our home, we had operations going on upstairs, and we had operations going on downstairs, because there's a kitchen and an oven down there as well. So my mother-in-law was doing her turkey down there, so we had two turkeys, because we had so many people. And it's interesting how that worked out, but all of a sudden it all comes upstairs, and there's all this food. And then what you know what the hardest part is? Choosing. We got to choose. I got to go through and choose. All that food, there's no way I could, if I took pieces of it, that I could get all of it on my plate. And then that's just that line. And it almost happens every time I come here. We've got so much food that you've got to choose from, and I've got to choose, and then usually the dessert's left out because I'm so filled from the entrees and the salads and everything else. So we get the gift of being able to choose. But we've got some other things to choose as well. And that's where I like to talk about today for us to think about this week, on the ability to always make good choices. I think you all can think about things where you've made good choices and to where you've made poor choices. All of us have gone through those experiences. I look at the feast this year and all the choices and how difficult they were, because I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what the hotels were like. I didn't know what the rental company would be like. I didn't know how the roads would be. Which airline do you choose? And then you get on the airline and they're asking you to choose what meal that you want. Do you want the chicken? Do you want the beef? So you can choose one of those. It's filled with choices all of the time. Those are pretty much not too difficult of choices, but sometimes when you find people complaining, when we got all this food, and people go, I don't even know what I want to eat, and the refrigerators are filled because we've had so much. Do I want chicken today? Do I want chicken a la king? Do I want roast chicken? Do I want fried chicken? Do I want this? Do I want chicken nuggets? So much to choose from. We certainly are very blessed, and I'm pretty sure that all of us here look at Thanksgiving that way, that we are so blessed on what God gives to us, and also the choices that he gives as well. You know, it may be the big choices in life that set the direction for where we're going. What was a big choice in your life? A big choice for me was my wife. A big choice for me was my direction on choosing to be baptized. That's probably the hugest, some of the most important choices on those commitments that you'll ever make. Choice of being baptized to be a part of God's family, or to choose what mate. It has significant impact on what your future will unfold. But you know, it's still sometimes the little choices that also get us there. The big ones may set the direction for where we're going, but it's the little ones that get us there. The lofty ones may become nothing more than unfulfilled dreams. Do you remember when you were a kid? I'm pretty sure at one point when I was small, that I probably wanted to be a fireman. You know, you like those uniforms, and you like that big truck with the siren, just like we're hearing in the background. Good sound effects here, you know. And so it, you know, or maybe a policeman, because they've got the badges and maybe carry the guns or whatever. You got these certain goals that change over the times. You know, when it became a little bit more difficult is when I was reaching to the high school age. And I know a lot are in that position now because they don't know what they want to do. You know what happens? There's so many choices. They've got all these choices to make that it's difficult for them to narrow down. So sometimes the best thing to do is to take 2 years of community college so you can get your basics down. That's what I attended, at least what I did when I chose to become an electrical engineer. I only finished 2 years. But I know when I changed my mind and my course to do something else, and then when God gets involved, then, of course, everything is going to be in the mix and thrown up in the air, which it was in my life. He chose for me not to do a professional hockey career or to make Army tanks for the rest of my life. Instead, I chose to go to Ambassador College. I didn't choose to be a minister, but I chose to go to Ambassador College. That's what I wanted to do. And there I made a big decision in my life also. I married my wife. So made other decisions along the way as well. So you can see all these choices and decisions that you make along the way. Some choices maybe were not so good choices. Some choices were good choices. But either way, that they're choices. Again, that became an unfulfilled dream, to become an electrical engineer. 2 years shy of that. But it was I was so happy to see that my son got his engineering degree. And I go, one of us got it. Way to go. I said, your grandpa would be so happy, because my dad was virtually an engineer without the certificate, without the degree. He had all the experience. He just didn't have that. He told me, he goes, if you just get that degree, you'll make so much more. And so my son got it. So I was really happy about that. He made a good choice. And he's been very blessed with it in his life. But again, all of us have been confronted with these choices. What do the little choices look like? Each of us makes actually tens of thousands of choices in a lifetime. Maybe the guys today, I don't know how the ladies do it, if you wait till Sabbath morning before you pick out what you're going to wear at church. Sometimes Friday we'll pick that out. You'll kind of think about that. I usually wait to see what my wife is wearing before I choose my tie. I found out that I get points if I match her. So that works out good for me. But you know, a choice nonetheless. What suit are you going to wear? You know, what tie are you going to wear? Small choices that sometimes we don't even think about, but they can make somewhat of an impact, because sometimes I'll wear a tie. What I found out about ties, in fact, that if I picked out the tie, normally I wouldn't get any comments. But if my wife picks out a tie, I get all kinds of compliments. I go, oh, I love your tie. I'll go, yeah, that was my wife's choice. That's what it was. So sometimes that can kind of sway you in certain directions as well, because everybody likes good comments, don't they? We all make these choices. There was a book titled Awaken the Giant. It talks about decisions, some of the small choices. And there here are 100. I have 100. And I'm not going to take the time to go over 100 choices. But sometimes we wonder what choices that mean. Let's look at it. It says your 100 most important choices. One would be who you spend most of your time with. That's an important choice. It's really critical for our younger ones to map out their direction. I was always glad looking back, even though when I was baptized and my best friend wasn't in the church, he didn't have a dad either. But he still was self-motivated. And I was glad to be around someone like that. He eventually ended up being an engineer, going back to school and getting an engineering degree. I lost track with him. I was supposed to be the best man at his wedding, but I was at Ambassador College at the time, and I didn't have enough time to get back. So we lost track, but I remember the importance. I remember I was glad to have pretty decent friends, because I saw some bad ones that would drag people down as well. Very dangerous. Another one would be the books that you read. The books that you read. What kind of books do you read? Very interesting. Maybe it's also the different programs that you watch. Now, I had a lot of choices on that jet going over to Brisbane. I wasn't feeling well, but I also know I had a lot of choices. You know, there's a panel in front of you. It's really gotten a lot more computerized now, even in a jet. So if you're sitting in a jet, you'll see a TV screen in front. Everyone now has a TV screen in the more advanced jets. And you've got programs. You can pick games if you want to play poker. When I first got on the jet, we were waiting to taxi. I was playing a poker game with my son, who was about 10 rows back. You're actually able to connect up with each other and game with each other on there. Of course, it's so funny because he beat me really bad. So, but that was a choice that I had. And I said, you know, I don't want to spend the whole flight playing games. There was movies to watch. You could watch all different choices of movies. It was like going through Netflix. But on the one over to Brisbane, I want to get some history in here. So I watched a World War I documentary. And I learned a lot from that. You know, it's kind of neat being able to learn. That's a sad state of affairs that we're in now with a lot of the things, because a lot of people do gaming. Games are just huge for the kids, even the older kids, and maybe sometimes for the younger and mid-age adults. There's a lot of gaming that takes place. is that really a good choice to go through your life and to play games? Not that it's wrong to play games now and then, but I mean, I'm talking about playing games a lot. That people are either on games or they're on Facebook. What kind of learning experience is there? What happens to gaining knowledge and learning something? So that could be an important choice as far as the book that you might read. How much you exercise. Ooh, a choice there. How much you exercise. You know, I know in my head, I do know, and I'm going to be practicing this. I'll let you know how it works out. You're going to have to hold me to it. I'm speaking to you right now. You're going to have to hold me to it. I know what I have to do. I've been sitting a lot. I've been flying a lot. And I can feel it in my back. It's sore. It's just sore. But I know what I can do to make it feel better. What do you think that is? I've got to exercise. I've got to get more exercise. But you know how hard it is to make the choice to exercise? I think you all know. I'm talking to a lot of veterans here. Oh, yeah, let's go exercise. Hey, all right. How many of us have those kind of attitudes and then follow through with it? And then when we don't make that choice, a lot of us end up suffering for it. Some of us get maybe too much, where my workout has had to change being older. I cannot do the same one. I've developed some hard knots in my muscles because I overdid it. And so you got to watch how you do it. Maybe you can get some help or wisdom. And also, I realize you have to make it fun. Your workout has got to be fun or you're probably not going to go back to it. So I talked to someone recently who said he just started getting off into swimming. So he's swimming for some exercise and he goes, I love it. I'm so glad that you love it because you're probably going to keep doing it then. So you've got to find something to do where you get some exercise. And maybe some of you out there are kind of going, you know, it's just a lost cause. Is that really a good decision? Or can you do something? Is there something that you can do? See, all these little ones have a lot of thought process behind them and whether you're going to make a good or a bad decision. The appearance of your home might be one. You know, I saw a book recently where it was a military man who was high up in the military. A piece of his advice was to make sure that you make your bed in the morning. What would that have to do with anything? What do you think? How you start your day. All of a sudden, you start your day with order. I saw the value within that. That seemed to make sense. You start your day out in order. Now, wouldn't this be a good choice, too? Because I don't think this one is in there. Whether when you get up in the morning, what's your first thought? What's the choice in your first thought? Well, I got to make the coffee. Is it going to be just some kind of groaning on how sore that you are? That's not going to, even though you might be sore, that's not a really good way to start out the day. Maybe we could start the day off with maybe a Thanksgiving. Maybe thank you, God, even though I'm sore, at least I can get out of bed. Maybe it should be something else. God, help me this day to make good choices. I'd like to see if you could take that challenge. How about taking that challenge and trying it for a week? So actually maybe a sermon, as others hopefully do, would make a difference or a change in your life. Choices are important before God, and they're important before all of us. How well you're able to concentrate might be another one. Whether you are a leader or a follower, what do you think God wants for us, for his people? The ones that he's chosen, do you think he wants his first fruits to be leaders or followers? I think he'd want us to be leaders, don't you? We're going to be leading, so we need to practice leadership. Some for hard, it's not an easy thing. There are principles of leadership that we can learn. One of those principles is making good decisions. That's a huge part of it, making good decisions. And that comes through practice. It comes through training. It comes through discernment. We can learn how to make good decisions because sometimes that has to do with disciplining our mind. Because another choice could be whether to smoke or not. How many of you here, don't have to see a raising of hands, but how many of you have tried smoking? I thought it was interesting. I took a couple puffs. I didn't inhale. Where have you heard that one before? You know, actually, I couldn't inhale because my lungs couldn't handle that kind of smoke. So that was one good deciding factor on why those things were pretty much worthless. They also pretty much stunk. And also recently, doing a tad bit of research, somebody posted a picture of what lungs look like, or a lung looked like after 30 years of constant smoking. It's horrible. It was horrible. I mean, if that's what you're, and why don't people think about that? I understand the urge and the pull is so hard. That's why it's so important. I would say, don't start. I would tell the kids, don't even start. And now it's not just that pull, is it? There are other things. The opiates are out there. And you do it once, it sucks you in right away. And a lot of our young kids are dying. It's a crisis in our country. And now the vaping also, because they make it taste good. So it's something different, but it's still damaging. And I thought that a long time ago, God's made us breathe in oxygen. It's troubling sometimes when we're trying to find good, clean oxygen. I know when my grandparents lived up north in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, they called it at that time the cleanest air in the United States. It's just fresh air that would come through all the time, clean water. I wonder if that's part reason why my grandpa lived to be 98 years old. You know, the environment that you live in. But other things we can go through when we make bad choices, sometimes we go, well, you know, everything's bad for you, so we just don't care about choices that we make. I'm still a label reader. And if I look at something, it says propylene gallate or propylene glycol. When I first saw propylene glycol, I go, that goes into a car radiator. And you'll see it on some ingredients in food products. Propylene glycol. I saw carnauba wax. They use that in car washes for cars. Carnauba wax. So what choices are you going to... But I really like those. I really like those, so I'm going to eat them. If we would only think about the little bits that constantly add up within our body, and pretty soon our immune system keeps going down, and now we've got more cancers, because our body is unable to resist this. And so they give more drugs, and they give more potent other shots and things of that so people can get better quickly, but it throws the immune system down. And so there are other viruses that are coming out that are a lot stronger, and people are dying more of these, and their resistance is gone. So we're making choices that aren't so good. And we've got to be ones that are a little bit smarter in the choices that we make. And it starts out with the very smallest things sometimes. What are you going to put into your body when you first wake up in the morning? What's it going to do? If only our stomachs could talk and send out warnings. No, don't send that down here. It's very interesting what we can do. Another choice is how calm we are. How calm we're going to be. Remember that aspect of gentleness that God gives to us through His Holy Spirit? When we're confronted by a situation, can you actually smile at it in the face? Sometimes when I've watched things and something's coming my way, or I've mentioned before, one time I was in a hurry to get to church, and two guys in the pickup in the morning having their coffee together were going about 10 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone, and I couldn't get around them. And I said, you know, and I thought, choice. I can either get really mad about this, but being mad is not going to change the situation. It's just going to make me mad. Or I can laugh at this and go, God, maybe I think this might be a test. I've gone through driving where I'm hitting every single red light, and I just smile. I go, this is a test. How am I going to respond to this? How am I going to handle this? That could be in any kind of situation. If only we would think about the choices that we're about to make instead of instinctively reacting. And if you instinctively react in that negative way, that we have not trained ourselves to make good choices. We've just let it go. We fall into emotions or whatever. It's not wrong to have emotions. It's not even wrong to be a little bit irritated. But I'm not going to affect my day. And you'll find out, actually, you'll end up being happier people simply because of the smaller choices. How many compliments you might give? Do you compliment? Do you compliment each other? Do you compliment your kids? Do you give compliments to each other? Something very positive. It's nice to give compliments out. You're thinking about other people. How often that you criticize? how happy you are. It can be a choice. How polite you are. One thing I still like about the South, I'm still finding a lot of politeness. I'm really pleased about that. So many places I go, even people that you wouldn't think, you know, will hold the door open for you, or if you hold the door open for them, they'll say thank you. There's other places you can go where you're simply not going to get that. Down here, it seems I'm still pleased about some of those things that we get. What do you think about just before you go to sleep at night? That can affect your sleep. Are you going to put something? Are you going to put something on the worry board there before you go to sleep? Oh, I got to do this tomorrow. I got to do that tomorrow. I know someone pretty close to me that sometimes used to say, well, we got to do this tomorrow. We got to do that tomorrow. Go, no, I'm in shutdown mode. We could talk about that over a cup of coffee in the morning, but I am in closed down mode. I cannot go to sleep thinking of everything I've got to do tomorrow. I know that's going to be there, but I want to go somewhere. Sometimes I'll go to my grandpa's 40 acres. And if I can really get there and remember a lot of the detail and fall asleep just like that, or some other positive thing in my life, or maybe something about in the kingdom, I still smile about that. One of the best things about Thanksgiving, sitting around the table with everybody, having food together, or even here, just little pieces of what we're going to get in the future. And the questions that we're going to ask. Once again, we put on planet Earth. We were watching some of the things, and I was talking to some of the guests that were over about all the questions that we're going to have on who did that. Did the angels get any input on some of those creations? I mean, some of the really unusual creations, not just in creatures, but in plants. Plants that when you touch them, they'll close up over you, and that's how they'll eat bugs or whatever. You've heard of those before, maybe even seen those. You know, all these other things, how long did it take to come up with that? I think it's going to be fascinating. Will we have the creative process? I'm pretty sure that we have. We will have that a universe to populate. That brings a smile on my face because it gives me that taste of the future. It's really going to happen. And even though I can only piece it together a little bit, I know those things are going to come somehow. Why does he make all that stuff? It's got to be for a future. You see how huge this world is. And we've wondered sometimes, how is he going to fit all these people? You see how big this world is? How big the oceans are? Just in flying from L.A. to Brisbane, I was over water, over water, over water, over water, over water, over water, for 13 hours, over water, going 600 miles an hour. That's a lot of water. How is that going to change? And the deserts, you can be miles and miles over deserts and mountain ranges, and all those things will be inhabited. And people still have room. It's a big world out there. But decisions that we make. What do you do when you've made a mistake? Choice. What do you do when you make a mistake? I talk about, I heard the one from Dave Ramsey. He calls it not going to stupid school twice. At least don't take the class twice. If you do, something's wrong. If you do it and then you do it again, that's going to stupid school twice. Because he's encouraging to people when they've made their mistakes on, you know, they're in debt, they bought this. Well, you know, how much do you make? Well, I make $25,000 a year. And so how much do you owe on your car? $30,000. You bought a $30,000 car making $20,000 a year. That's called stupid school. And so, but he wants to lift somebody up. He goes, I've been there. You don't want to take the same class, put the car in the market, sell it, and find something that's dependable but a little bit cheaper that you can afford in your budget. A lot of people aren't trained, and I realize that, in finances. They've been used to just going out and spending it, so they don't save. It's so interesting. When you save, even just making a choice to save what's called an emergency fund. He's got a $1,000 emergency fund. It's interesting. When you save that $1,000, how many times you're not going to have to use it? And he goes, and you can't use it for pizza. Only for, it's called an emergency fund. And it's interesting, when you don't have that, all these other things happen. But when you have an emergency fund and something happens, you don't have to go crazy. You've got, that's what it's for. Maybe all of a sudden you need brakes or something, and then you start building that up. But it's in your mind to make good decisions. And that's just on the financial range. There's so many things that come into play when you're talking about decisions. Now, Anthony Robbins, in that book, Awaken the Giant Within, he says there are three decisions that control your destiny. Three decisions that control your destiny. One, your decisions on what to focus on. Can you think about that when it comes to a bad decision that was made in Genesis? From the very beginning, bad decision, and God tried to help this person to get his focus right. Remember when he told him, he goes, Satan dwells at the door. You've got a choice you're going to make. But here's what's happening. And he let him make the choice, didn't he? Remember who that was? It was Cain. He told him, he goes, you're upset right now. And he goes, I should be the one to be upset. You didn't offer your offering with your heart. Something went wrong there, and he got aggravated at it. He made a choice to get mad, and God warned him about it. And he made a bad choice. He didn't focus. He didn't focus on what God told him to focus on. Your decisions about what to focus on. The second one is your decisions about what things mean to you. What things mean to you? What could that mean here? What's your most important day of the week? This truly, I can say, is my favorite day of the week. It's none other than the Sabbath day. Why? Because all the focus has changed. It's not on stuff. It's not on my grass, or it's not on something I got to fix. It's not about stuff I've got to get rid of. That I'll work on tomorrow with all the kids that I've got. Take this, take that, take that, take that. Take everything you can. That's tomorrow. Today is this. Today is about focusing in on what lies in the future. Today is about working on happy things. It's about overcoming. It's about growing. It's not about beating yourself up. It's about what can I do to change my life so I can be happier? What can I do to change my life so I can be closer to God? The good choices. What do things mean to you? What's most important to you? Sometimes we get into so many things, we may forget about our spouses. We may forget about our children. Sometimes I get the best value, by the way, on going through this. Sometimes when I do marriage counselings, I get the most value because I'm able to go through things, again, that we introduce to people that have the most value. Don't forget what your priorities are, who the most important things are in life, about praying together. Who's most important within a marriage? Some people forget that God is more important in their life. The spouse or the husband sometimes will make a choice to choose their husband or their wife over God. My wife will completely say, and I'm so glad, in her life, God is most important. God is more important than me in her life. I'm glad to say the same thing. We agree on that priority. So we realize we have independent decisions to make sometimes when it comes to our relationship with God. We can talk about it. We can discuss it. I'm so glad that we've been on the same path sometimes. But I've known some to make decisions based on what their spouses have done. And it's been over what's right and what's wrong. Hence the importance, once again, choosing what is right. Now, we thought about that in the theme. We thought about using truth. But if you're looking at what's right, sometimes we equate truth with booklets, Ten Commandments. Choosing what's right means a broader perspective, maybe on how you're going to respond to someone, how you're going to react to someone, which certainly has a scriptural basis, but it comes down to what's right. What's the right thing to do? Your decisions about what things mean to you. The third one is your decision about what to do to create the results that you want. And this can be the fun part. Now, years ago, I told you, I don't think this could happen again, not in this lifetime at least, but I made the decision some time ago when I decided for a different career path to be a professional hockey player. I was told that I needed to gain 10 pounds. And I did. I must have wanted that so bad. Finally in my life, I wanted something really bad. You know, to me, playing the game of hockey was always just a lot of fun. It was just fun. And sometimes, I probably mentioned this, my dad would come into the dressing room and I'd be all suited up. And I'm all happy and having fun. And he'd want me to get focused. He wanted me to be serious. So he'd whack me upside my head. Of course, I had my helmet on. He'd do that to get me mad. And I told him that it didn't work. I just got mad at him. So what happened, though, was I would get out there and skate, and then somebody would just come in and cream me. And my dad would go, yes, he's finally going to get mad. Now, I also had choices to make. I also realized within those choices not to retaliate. Brought that principle down to my kids, but retaliation. That's not good to do because it defeats the purpose. What's my purpose? To take that little puck and to put it behind that goalie and then that to get goals. And if I'm in the penalty box, I can't do that. So I was learning early on to make good choices there. And again, throughout life, no matter what you've gone through or done, you've been trained and you're learning how to make good choices. And sometimes we've not made good choices at all. I did react wrong one time. It was the most unusual reaction. But one of the opposing goalies, when I went across the goal mouth there, he took his stick and he put it right up into my stomach. And I got the wind. I hate getting the wind knocked out of me. So that would have been a test. It's been a long, long time since that ever happened. I remember that. I got so mad that I grabbed him. And he was about this much taller than me, probably about 2 feet taller. And he had all that equipment on. Goalie's got more equipment than anybody. You can't hurt them. But I was so mad that I grabbed him and he fell on me. And I'm kind of just going like this. And all my teammates are laughing. They're just laughing because they go, finally, Evans is getting mad out there. And you know what happened to me? I got put in the penalty box. Nothing happened to that goalie. He gets to stay out there. They had to put one of their other players in, but he gets to stay out there. Didn't hurt him at all. What good did my anger do at all? Nothing. And it put me in the penalty box. You know, I didn't know the phrase at that time, but I would have told me, don't go to stupid school again. And I didn't. But it was a choice in my life that when I gained those 10 pounds, it was so much fun being in front of the mirror and just watching that. You would just relax and the muscles would just be out there. You kind of go, wow, when you're young, it's so much fun. Go for it. Have some fun. You know, it was maybe my own vanity. I didn't go around walking like that and doing that kind of thing. But I knew I needed to gain weight, which I did. You know, after the workouts, I would go eat hamburgers. I would drink raw eggs. I would eat cans of sardines. Protein, protein, protein. Can't do that now. So different. And I realized that's a kingdom thing. I can't wait in the kingdom to look at my spiritual mirror. Wow, this feels good. It feels good to feel good. You know, what are our spiritual bodies? Now I think about that. I focus in on that. Why trying to maintain and stay healthy within this own body? Because I realize just a small amount of core exercises, a small amount, have helped my back over the years. And so I've seen the rewards come. And you can see them too once you make good choices. You'll see these little pockets of good things that start happening, especially when you put God in the mix, especially when He's first. Your decision about what to do to create the results that you desire. What do you want to do? And where is that with your priority? Now, there's 26 quotes. I'm not going to go through these, just a few pieces of these from his name is Shad Helmstetter. Shad, S-H-A-D, Helmstetter. A few quotes from his book titled Choices. A couple of them here are highlighted. Choosing to live your life by your own choice is the greatest freedom that we'll ever have. How many of us think about that? And I do a lot. Now I do a lot because when I see that Thanksgiving, I even talk to the ladies and say, you know what's so sad about this? You put all this preparation, hours of preparation, getting the turkey, even buying the turkeys, getting all the food preparations, getting all the ingredients, putting it all together, maybe going onto the internet and looking at certain other recipes and making all these different things, and it lasts for about 10 minutes. Everybody goes in and chows and it's gone and the plates are gone. It's just like all the preparation. And it was really, really, really good. And even the leftovers were really, we had so many people, there just weren't many leftovers. But it was really, but I think about that. That's, in a sense, that's called vanity. And then the women will go ahead the next year and do the same thing again. And that's not stupid school. That's called serving. And sometimes what the guys need to do, and even teaching the kids, is to make sure that we're thankful for all the work that's been put into that, because that was the value. That was the love putting in into serving somebody. It's not just about the food. The fellowship is always wonderful. The fellowship is always great. But we get choices. and to be thankful that God gives us choices, especially in this country, that they don't get everywhere else. I know the minister and his wife that went over to Nigeria said they had to bring a lot of freeze-dried food. So that was their feast, is eating a lot of freeze-dried food. There just wasn't much that they could eat over there that their bodies would be able to handle. Another one is, it's only when you exercise your right to choose that you can also exercise your right to change. Do you want to stay the same? Anybody here want to stay the same? I don't. I want to keep growing. One of the best parts of being a part of God's family is God's church is the ability to change. The ability to hear someone, the ability to hear someone and go, that one applies to me. Or you're going to get around Thanksgiving time and you hear a Thanksgiving message and go, and you ask yourself, I think I need to be more thankful. That day needs to be more meaningful to God's people because of our understanding about what God has done for this country, more than somebody watching football games. Not that there's anything wrong with watching football, but the attitude, the focus on God, my prayer would be thank you for food, thank you for family. And then where's our focus? On our future family. We're going to have one big, big Thanksgiving party in the future. It's called a marriage supper, so we don't know exactly the extent of that, but I know it's something to look forward to. Another one is there may be 1,000 little choices in a day, but all of them count. All of the choices that you make count. All those decisions, I remember, just to share this one, I'm very, very thankful and grateful for this, but all the decisions that we had to make on flights, connections, hotels, everything. Besides the getting sick part, that was the only thing that did not feel good, but every one of those choices worked out so neat. That even when I got into the motel, it's called the Millennium Resort. You know, here you are opening, I'm looking over Lake Tahoe, and I'm just going, thank you. I didn't know it would be that beautiful. Everything was just gorgeous and perfect. And even through all those choices, still kind of getting in and not feeling that well. There was a big group of people. That's what was hard to find parking spots. I found a perfect parking spot, was able to get all of our stuff in. Then we went in, still kind of not feeling great. But we walk in, they had one restaurant that was filled with a lot of people. They weren't rowdy or anything. It was just pretty much filled. They were having a good time and talking, but it was kind of filled. And there were all these truckers that came in. That's why at first we were not able to get a room there, but then after that room just happened to open up for us. Beautiful room. And so there's this big group of people, but they had the other dining room. It was more elegant dining. We weren't that dressed up. I didn't have a shirt and tie on. But for some reason, the waitress says, you guys come in here. We're going to sit you over here. And there was only one other couple in there. We were able to have peace. We each had a glass of wine, and we toasted in coming in. Thank God for that day. And our dinner was soup. We still weren't feeling good. And they had the best soup. And all those small details, I don't want to ever forget. To thank God. Sometimes when you don't know the decision, you pray to God and you ask Him, guide me. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. Watch the result of these things happen when you really put that into practice. Another one is those who choose to succeed always do better than those who never choose at all. One of my favorite here, the end result of your life here on earth will always be the sum total of the choices you made while you are here. It's never too late to change, but there's got to be a choice behind it. There is a story here of a boy telling his father. He said, Dad, if three frogs were sitting on a limb that hung over a pool and one frog decided to jump off into the pool, how many frogs would be left on the limb? The dad replied, well, of course, it would be two. No, the son replied, there's three frogs and one decides to jump. How many are left? I get it. If one decides to jump, the others would too, so there are none left. The boy said, no, Dad, the answer is three. The frog only decided to jump. I'm going to get my exercise. That's my decision. Next time I come. Did you do it? now I really have to do it. I put my side in. Does that sound like some people's resolutions, though? There's great inspiration, great resolutions, but sometimes people just decide. And months later, they're on the same limb of do nothing. So we're not unique in complacency, even about God's kingdom. This land is filled with so many different peoples, even God-fearing people, that say they want to grow, but for a multitude of reasons, they can't seem to follow through. It comes down to those decisions. You can see a decision over in 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's go over here. You know the story, so I'm going to just highlight some areas. 1 Kings chapter 18. There was a choice, and once again, God was intervening here because the people had gotten so complacent. They weren't hanging around the wrong people. Remember when God said, don't intermarry with the Canaanites, don't go over here? And it was so important, for instance, to Abraham that he sent a servant to get someone, and obviously God guided that. And when I see that example, I realize this is the same. It's no different. It's no different. We've got what's called slim pickings in the church, don't we? In fact, even for some of our, even though there's some marriages taking place next year, they're still getting married, still having children. That's what I found out for preteen camp. I thought we'd be going down. They're obeying that command like crazy. Be fruitful and multiply. I'm seeing a lot of new ones coming up. Where are these people coming from? They're still having kids. There's still young ones that are getting married and having children. This is awesome. It's great. I just didn't think that we'd be more populating than less. We went from 68 to 78 to 81, and then into the hundreds, to 110, to 116, and then this year 124, biggest yet. And that's staff and campers, by the way, but campers are increasing significantly. So you see that these things are happening, what God is doing. He still wants more people for his kingdom. He's going to see that happens. But once you get into here, into 1 Kings, you see the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You know, Elijah just, sometimes God would send these prophets out of nowhere, but he told Ahab that there would be a drought and it wouldn't end until he said otherwise. Of course, God sent him with that message. And you probably know the special wife that he had. In fact, so well known that her name is still used today for wicked people. Jezebel, an evil plotting woman. And so when she married Ahab, do you know what happened? She brought her idolatry into the marriage. No different. But now one difference is, though, you've got a very wicked king, probably the most wicked man. A lot of lessons that are learned here as well in this story. Because you have the most wicked king ever. And the guy repents. And what an attitude tester that would be. All the attitude testing that would be there, not just with Ahab, but with Solomon as well. Do you realize this? The testing with Solomon when he married, what, it was 600 wives and concubines? Probably more than that. 600! And if you're a guy out at that time in the kingdom, and you got something going, you got your eyes on a really pretty one, and the king comes and swoops her away. King comes and swoops her away. King comes and takes her and takes her and takes her. You know the attitude? I bet there were guys that wanted to kill him. You take all these gals for yourself. One's not, and even those that knew God's law, one wife. He says, don't multiply wives to yourself. Imagine the testing that was done there with a decent king. Now you get Ahab. And you get his wife, and she brings all the negative things, all the pagan customs, and the people start following after those because it's a lot more, maybe it's a lot more fun. And we taught our kids, hey, you want to compare? You want to choose the feast? You want Christmas. Christmas, you'll get gifts. Yeah, maybe you'll get gifts. Well, feast, we give things as well. We also give places and friends and family and time. And time, and putting God first, so they can learn when they do that, that God's really going to bless them and give them a good time, so they make friends for life, and they're able to go to camps and other places. It's not just about a pagan culture. But the same thing happened in our country as well. All the pagan stuff started coming back in again. But hey, it's got Jesus in it. And all the lies that are propagated about it. And you and I know that's not true. And it's certainly not bringing happiness because people are way overspending. Credit cards like crazy. Going into debt because they feel like they have to. I have to get that. They get me a gift. I have to. What? How is that gift giving? If you're just swapping. Well, I'll get you a gift if you get me a gift. That way we can both say we're giving something. But are people really looking into giving, or is what they're getting is most important? I'm not going to judge the attitudes, but I know human nature in the way that comes across. So once again, we see more choices, and this is where choices came up too. The story picks up where there's been 3.5 years of drought, and you can see in verse 19 of 1 Kings 18. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to the people and says, How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But the people didn't answer him a word. They were so steeped in it. What do? You're confronted with truth now. What are you going to do with it? Wow, what do? I look back, really it was my mom that really had come to terms with that. Because I know she was the one that confronted her pastor in the Lutheran church. I was a teen. I didn't do that. She did. And she asked him questions. What about this? You know, well, he would answer, we've just done this over the years. And the answers were not acceptable. So all of a sudden, you've got something laying right in front of my mom, and she knows she's got to make a choice. Now God's showing her. So instead of going along with that, she goes, I can't do this anymore. I never knew that it would be so evident, so crystal clear on what I'm supposed to do. Made a choice. Best choice in her entire life. I'd have to say that. Best choice ever in her entire life was that one that she made to become part of God's family. You know, Dad continued to go a little bit after that. It's kind of that culture thing you're still into. And then they changed synods. And the priest came down one day and started throwing holy water. And he goes, I'm gone. I'm out of there. He didn't want to go that far. But he still didn't go and make that other one because he had another important decision he needed to make as well. I had a good dad, by the way. But he taught me a lot. But I also learned from bad decisions. And he had a choice to make whether he was going to stop smoking or not. And it was hard. And he tried, and he would go back to it. And he tried, and he'd go back to it. And finally, it killed him. So I've seen the result of those choices. So do you think a cigarette's going to ever test me? I don't think so. But there are other things, still other choices that we have to make along the time. But sometimes we come to those. And God says, you've got to make a choice. How long do you halt between two opinions? Verse 22, he said, I'm only the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450. Now, you know better than that because he was not correct in that. So maybe that was the beginning of the non-profit organization. Where was the prophecy there? He wasn't the only one. God knew that. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whatever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood on their altar. But bring, without setting fire to it, I'll prepare the other bull, lay it on the wood, and not set fire to it. And they call on the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God, and all the people agreed. Then you pick it up in verse 39, and when the people saw it, they fell on their face on the ground, and they cried out, the Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God. So God sent Elijah to call the people back to him, back into the worship of the true God. They had a choice to make, and others will in the future too. The same choices that we get today, and I'm loving it. I love choices. Thank God for choices. Thank God that I got choice. I was able to make that. My kids understand that. I want you to understand. This is your choice. I do not want you to choose. In fact, I'm against the choice if you choose it because I chose it. I wanted their freedom of choice based on their belief, what they wanted, what they saw. And for them to get the knowledge and their relationship with God, then when they make that choice, it's called free choice, free moral agency. Some choose, again, because others have chosen, because mom and dad have chosen. That's all. That's why my mom and dad chose where they originally were, because their mom and dad went to that church. So naturally, you just gravitate in it without even looking at it, without seeing how important the choice is, except it wasn't that important. You know, Sunday? I can't say Sunday was, you know, some come to think of it, I think Saturday was still my favorite day back when I was a kid, because it was all the cartoons that were on Saturday. So I'd watch cartoons and play hockey and have fun, because you weren't going to school, right? You weren't going to school. That was your off day. Sunday, got to go to church. So that was it. But whoever comes to think about that in their life, when I saw a choice that was placed before me, wow. Wow. Do you know something, another choice? I'll share with this. I'm sharing some personal experiences here, but it's kind of fun because it makes me remember them. The choice to marry my wife. The choice when you're marrying a mate is a big one, and I knew it, and I was 29. And I talked to somebody that I worked with that said, well, when he got married, when his wife came up the aisle, he was shaking in his boots. And I said, well, why? He's going, well, I wasn't sure. I go, you weren't sure? You're not sure? I don't want to be shaken in my boots when my wife is coming up the aisle, my potential wife is coming up in the aisle. And I thought about that. Yes, and it was serious. And I prayed to God. I asked God, I know I can take care of myself, but I've taken on someone else. I don't want to have to live in a car or something like that. Will you help me, guide me? Because you're thinking sometimes really about providing, you know, about the man being an infidel if you don't provide. I had no career direction at that time. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Why don't you have a little faith? But I know when my wife came up in the aisle, it was the most confidence I've ever been. I said, I knew it. I know this is that. Don't, no doubt about it. And there's nothing like feeling that way. You can really have a great time when you're confident in your choices, and you know that God's blessing you. All these things that he was trying to teach to his people, and they all agreed. They had a choice, but they had gotten into the habit of trying to live in both worlds. When it was convenient, they would worship God. They would pray to God in order to worship in the temple, but they'd have to go to Jerusalem. It just wasn't convenient, so I'm going to stick at home. I'm just going to stay at home. Way to go unto the people that despite the sacrifices, you still went up and worship God. That's the choice I'm going to make. If I've got to drag my leg there, whatever it is, I'm going to worship God at his feast or at his Sabbath day. And I better be pretty sick if I can't go, because I know that's what he says. So it's a choice. And people are confronted with those choices. And a lot of the ministry sees the danger points. I got family coming in today, so I'm not going to go. I've got this going on over here, so I'm not going to go. And what did Jesus Christ respond? When he said, I got to go bury my father. Well, you'd think that was important. Let the dead bury the dead. You'd think that was pretty hard. No, he knew what was behind it. The people making excuses. And he says, there is no excuse. You don't have to bury your father on the Sabbath day. Or if you've got somebody that does it, then you come to church and then you go to the memorial service. But you're showing that this God comes before any of that. That's the best way that you can provide a testimony. That might seem a little harsh coming from your pastor. I'm just going by the words of Jesus Christ. Let the dead bury the dead. We see the excuses. God's command is there, and then he's going to watch how we are confronted by these different situations that confront us. You still gonna follow me? So the person that says, well, if you were on a deserted island and there was just a pig, I go, that would be easy for me. I would say, God, thank you so much for making this so easy. Thank you so much, because I'm not eating that thing. You're going to have to find something else. Well, what if you starve? Then I'm his kingdom, and I'm having the best meal of my life. So I mean, that's the way to focus in on God's kingdom. And somebody goes, well, you probably could use it for bait. I go, I didn't think about that. Yeah, I guess I could. I still think God will provide something else. But what is he to us? What are those decisions that we're making? You know, there was a story about I don't know if how many have skied, snow skied here. That can be a little tricky. I remember when I first did, and you got to get in front of that lift that takes you up. It keeps going. It doesn't stop. And when it does, you know somebody either fell or whatever. It hits you in the back of the leg, and then you've got to sit right away. And so there was a woman that started to do that, and yet she didn't feel really comfortable. So she kind of sat and then kind of got back up, and the thing pushed her off, and she got hurt. It was just like, you can't be indecisive with something like that. When you see something that says sit, then you better sit, or you could get hurt. But we're at a crossroads sometimes. We have to make these decisions throughout of our life. In Matthew chapter 7, interesting how the scripture portrays it here. In Matthew chapter 7, there are two ways. I think where most of us are familiar with the two, and it doesn't even bring that up here. It's conclusive in the two trees. Obviously, we see two choices. I'm not going to even talk about the two trees today, but that's the sum of the decisions in our life that we make. Matthew chapter 7, and we look at verse 13. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go that way. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." So we realize those decisions are not always easy decisions. There's a lot of difficult ones that we've got to make in our lives. Sometimes we're not looking for multitude of counsel. We're missing out on that. Sometimes we don't make any choices, and that's a bad choice to make. But he talks about right here, he's talking about there are two ways, the wide gate and the narrow gate. Then you go down to verse 15 here, and it does talk about the trees. Talks about knowing them by the fruits. Every good tree bears a good fruit, and a bad tree bears a bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. By their fruits. And so he says there's two ways, the wide gate, the narrow gate. He says there's the good tree and the corrupt tree. There's the true ministers of God. There's the false ones. There's the wheat. There's the chaff. Verse 21. Look what he says here. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out many wonders in your name? And I will declare them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you practice lawlessness." You thought you could come to the true church and then practice the way of the world. Two faces. Can't do it. Not possible. You can't come. God says, I would rather you just go out in the world and just be cold because of the lukewarmness that's there. We know what God says about that in Revelation. So there are those that know God and seek true repentance and seek to do the Father's will, or you go back home and seek your own will. There's two professions. We've sought a profession. When you said, I do, when you said, committed to God, you professed, I'm going to go that direction, and I'm going to need your guidance, and I'm going to need your help. So that's why he gives you his Holy Spirit, because you can't do it by yourself. There's no doubt about that. But it's still got to be in our mind the focus on the profession that we have. It's a good profession, as Paul calls it. And then in verse 24, look what he says here. Two things throughout. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended." That's Jesus Christ. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And the winds blew on it and didn't fall. It founded on a rock. Then there are those that built on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall." And you saw a great falling. You saw it. I saw it in my own lifetime. I saw people I fellowship with. I thought they were true believers. Got along with them. I called them my family. They were great. We wrote songs about a family. Trial comes. New guy comes on the scene, professes something different, and they bought it, including most of the ministers, most of the people. It was built on sand. They thought they could come and do all their social things, all their fun things that they had, all the sports programs, all the camps, all the magazines, all the different things that we had. It wasn't found on a rock. It was found on people. So we've seen the choices that people can make. There are two different ways or gates. They're labeled ways, but only one leads to the truth. Two different trees. But only the ones with the good fruit are of God. Two different professions, but only one possession in that sense. Two different foundations, but only one will stand. The wise man built his house on the rock. The rain came and he didn't suffer loss. Will our house stand? Another story here. This goes back to beginning of our country, but there were two famous actors long ago. One was named Edwin Thomas Booth, and another one's name was John Wilkes Booth. Familiar with those? At least one of them? Most are familiar with John Wilkes Booth. They were brothers, by the way. In 1863, the two brothers acted together in Julius Caesar. John played the role of Brutus, an assassin. Who would have known that would happen 2 years later? 2 years later, this John who acted as stage assassin in Julius is the same John who took the role of a real-life assassin, and he fired a bullet into the head of President Lincoln. Edwin was never the same after that. Shame from his brother's crime drove him into retirement, and he wouldn't have returned to the stage if not what happened after that. One day when he was waiting for a train, a well-dressed young man pushed by the crowd fell between the platform and the moving train. Anyone could have imagined what would have happened after that. And suddenly this Edwin locked his leg around a railing, grabbed the man, and he pulled him to safety. He did not recognize this young man, but the young man did. Weeks later, a letter from General Ulysses S. Grant's secretary came thanking Edwin for saving the life of the son of American hero Abraham Lincoln. Strange, isn't it? Very interesting. One brother killed the president and the other saved the president's son. Both from the same parents. Both had the same background. Same profession, same passion. One chooses death and the other chooses life. Then you can see all the other examples. Cain and Abel. Abel chose God. Cain chooses murder, and God lets him. Abraham and Lot, both pilgrims in Canaan. Abraham chose God. Lot chose Sodom, and God let him. Peter and Judas, both deny God. Peter seeks mercy. Judas seeks death, and God lets him. One of those, you know, there's talk about the ability to be able to choose. Three common mistakes to avoid, and I'll finish from here. One common mistake is to choose not to choose. I'm not going to go through this. You can read this maybe when you get home today, but you look at 2 Samuel 13. It's a story maybe you haven't seen in a while. But one common mistake is choosing not to choose. When you see this story of King David and not dealing with a horrible situation among his children, do you remember that? When the daughter Tamar was raped by Amnon. The whole story was a setup. The guy egged Amnon on. Tamar was an upright woman. And he raped her, and he hated her so much after that that he threw her out. So David did nothing. Now, whether it was because he felt guilty for all the stuff that he did, it doesn't really say. He just didn't do anything. And it caused rebellion in the family. After that, Absalom rebelled. The respect level went down for dad because it's a horrible thing that took place, and he chose for 2 years not to do anything. Absalom rebelled. And David, for a while, did not take action. Procrastination is another one. That's point two. Choosing not to choose or choosing to procrastinate. Now, sometimes I realize it might be, sometimes for me, it might be I need more information. Then go find more information. But don't procrastinate it. Sometimes letting it go can be worse than making no decision at all. You let it go and sometimes it'll get worse. You know, in Acts chapter 24, when you see a decision, you could look between the one who was the eunuch. Remember, he was learning from Philip, and he goes, well, what do I do now? Get baptized. And he got baptized. Just like that. Very unusual stories that you see, not knowing every little detail. But this man was really saw the truth and wanted to know what to do. He was instructed on what to do, and he did it. Here's one you've got in Acts 24. Paul comes before Felix, the governor of Judea. He tells Felix about his relationship with Christ and who he is. And after much discussion about faith in Christ, Felix tells Paul, go away for now when it's more convenient. I'll call for you again. Chapter 24, verse 25. What? Go away now? How many here remember that? How many here remember that when you were calling for your minister to come? I know this is more of the old-timers than anything. Maybe some of the newer ones, too, and that would be good. You know, you were visited by your minister, but because we are still even so scattered out, you couldn't wait for the next one to come in. I want to be baptized. What? Now? I like it when someone asks that. Go, well, maybe we need to do some more counseling. Well, I think I know. I love the attitude. You know, we just want to make sure that you know exactly what you're getting into. That's part of the counseling process. Do you realize what this is all about? When someone feels that they are, there's no reason to delay it because they want that. So the desire is there, but putting it off is not really a good thing. Why are we putting it off here? And the last one is choosing to listen to ungodly advice. That's what happened when we went back to the story of Amnon, and he was given bad, bad advice. Too bad he didn't have a friend that says, better off not to do this. It's a wicked and evil thing, but a choice to hang around wicked company does not produce good results. And that's another one as well. So Paul gives a warning in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 13. He says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We need to seek good counsel, positive counsel, uplifting counsel. So let's finish. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 25. Psalm 25, and let's look at verse 12. While we're going there, I had another story I wanted to share, and I don't see it. No, can't find that story. Sorry, I'll have to bring it up next time. Psalm 25, verse 12. When we choose God, let's go over here myself. Psalm 25, verse 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he chooses. So making good choices in life, and if we really focus in on that and think about that this week, I really hope and pray that this is one that will not go away. I had a man call me this past week, and he goes, you know, I got up, and he goes, the first thing I did is I thought about God. I go, way to go. You know, you're actually implementing something that you heard. Wouldn't that be like the greatest idea? To me, it would seem to be that when you get up in the morning, the first thing you think about, it doesn't mean that you've got to get on your knees right away, but thank God. Have him be the first part of your conversation. Then get up for a while, and if you need to wake up, sometimes people right away, they'll get on their knees and fall back asleep again. You know, you want to be, you know, awake when you're talking to God about the most important things that are going to be happening in the day or the week or the month ahead. But, you know, God instructs us in this way. One choice leads to something positive and very good benefits. And so God can help us with those decisions. still just looking for that story, and I cannot find it. I'm sorry. There's one paper I guess I left out. Okay, let's finish here by going over to Proverbs 15. Proverbs chapter 15. I don't want to take this. Here's what I'd like to do, brethren. I'm going to follow up and finish this because of the importance of choices. I knew I had something long going on here, but I'm praying and hoping that all of us together will pray for each other, that this will be a different year because of choices that we'll make, that we'll all be inspired to make good choices, something positive. You can read up a lot more about it. There's a lot in the Bible that talks about this. In verse 22 of Proverbs 15, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors are they established. Very interesting. When we make good decisions and we truly do trust in God, because life is filled with choices. We must choose when to go to bed and when to get up, what to eat, when not to eat, what to wear, what not to wear. We choose what we do with our time. We choose where we go to work, where we'll go out to eat. Some choices are easy, some are difficult. But one of the best decisions God ever gave to us is the ability to choose. So in thinking about this week, all the different examples that we can go through, Israel choosing, disciples choosing, apostles choosing, be nice that we would choose something positive and something good. And when you see those that have gone before us, when you're confident in that, when you see the people that have passed before that have made choices, some bad choices in their life, but overall good choices. If people go on choosing to be a part of God's kingdom, they choose not to give up despite of hardships that they go through, choose to make good decisions and wise decisions and look to the council, look to find out, as opposed to others that have come turned to me and go, I don't even want to know anything. My heart drops. You don't want to know anything? You don't want any counsel? No, I don't want it. I don't want any drama anymore. Guess what? You're going to have drama. In this life, there's going to be drama, isn't there? You know, and we can choose which way we look at it. Sometimes it's sad. I'm not going to be sorrowful the rest of my life because I know God's plan. He's fulfilling his plan. You can see what's going on. All this week, you're going to hear more impeachment hearings, aren't you? Here we go. Guess what? We know something really good. When Christ returns, if you and I make good choices, we're going to get to fix this. I can't wait. It's going to be over. It's going to be done. Judgment's going to come out. Nobody's getting away with anything. So I would rather choose to live my way a happy way, to choose to think about what I can do to compliment somebody, what I can do to react to situations, be a happier person. Take on the fruits of God's Spirit. Those are the good choices, but we have to choose to walk that direction. So let's choose that this week for the next 2 weeks until I come back. And then you can ask me, what choices have I made? Hopefully they'll be good ones. And you'll make good ones too. It's a learning process. So let's choose good.